We'll continue in our series in the Westminster Confession of Faith. We're looking at the topic of assurance of grace and salvation. And last week we looked at the first couple paragraphs, and today I look at the third with you. So, the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 18, section 3. This infallible assurance doth not so belong to the essence of faith, but that a true believer may wait long and conflict with many difficulties before he be partaker of it. Yet, being enabled by the Spirit to know the things which are freely given him of God, he may, without extraordinary revelation, in the right use of ordinary means, attain thereunto, that is, attain to a full assurance of faith. And therefore it's the duty of everyone to give all diligence to make his calling and election sure, that thereby his heart may be enlarged in peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, in love and thankfulness to God, and in strength and cheerfulness, in the duties of obedience, the proper fruits of this assurance, so far is it, that is, so far as assurance from inclining men to looseness. Well, the opening paragraphs of chapter 18 make the case that Christians have every reason to be confident about their salvation. But what if they are not? What are we to think of a faith in Christ that wavers and wonders whether the Savior has really risen and died for us, died for me? Is weak faith still true faith? This is the question that the third paragraph of chapter 18 addresses. Well, the answer that is given is that a full assurance of salvation does not belong to the very essence of faith. It might be normal to be sure that one's a Christian, but one can be a Christian without being sure. In fact, a true believer may wait long and conflict with many difficulties before he or she is assured of God's grace and favor. Perhaps that is what John had in mind. Perhaps that's the issue that he's addressing in his first epistle, where he is writing to those who believe, but he says, in order that they may know that they have eternal life. The prophet Isaiah also discusses those who fear the Lord, he says, and obey his servants, and yet they walk in darkness. They need to be told, he says, to trust in the name of the Lord and rely on God. We can hear similar distress and confusion firsthand in Asaph's lament in Psalm 77, or in the words of the sons of Korah in Psalm 88, or in the father in the Gospel of Mark, who cried out to Jesus with tears, saying, Lord, I believe, and in his next breath saying, help thou mine unbelief. Christians can find themselves struggling through dark days, but the Lord does offer light. The spirit of this world can confuse us, but the Spirit who is from God can enable us to know that great gift of salvation and to know that it's really and freely given to us by God. Indeed, it's actually by the gift of the Spirit that we know that we abide in Him and He in us. We must remind people that this assurance can be had without some extraordinary revelation. We rely on God's Spirit, and we show diligence in the pursuit of an assurance of salvation by a right use of those ordinary means that God Himself has established for strengthening our faith. If you're lacking assurance of your salvation, if you're wondering whether you're really a Christian, well, please heed the preaching of the Word. Turn to the Lord in prayer. Remain in the church. And make full use of all that you can find there, including the sacraments, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Only when you use these means of grace will you find yourself being rooted and established in love. For each of these things speaks of Christ, takes us to Christ, pictures Christ. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. Only then will we find the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Only then, as Scripture promises, will you be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. It's by the Spirit and through the means of grace that God has given us, that we make our calling and our election sure. Our hearts will feel enlarged with peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, as Paul mentions in Romans 14. And love and thankfulness, as we see in Ephesians 1. And strength and cheerfulness in the duties of obedience, as we witness in Psalm 119. Some people worry that if we're sure about our salvation, that we could end up living carelessly, that we'll continue in sin so that grace may abound. Well, the truth is that the children of God are stronger and more cheerful in their obedience when they bask in the love of their Father. The proper and natural fruit of a full assurance of our adoption into God's family and the advocacy of Jesus Christ on our behalf, the normal result of that is that we stop sinning, John says. You see, when the grace of God appears, it trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It makes us zealous for good works. Well, knowing that these promises from God are ours, it makes us want to clean up our act. When the psalmist finds that there's forgiveness with God, he fears Him with a solemn, newfound respect. When Paul realizes that there's no condemnation awaiting him, he understands that he's a debtor to a new master, and he accepts this news cheerfully. When John realizes that he has hope in Christ, he seeks to purify himself because Christ is pure. The very fact that a full assurance of grace and salvation is not necessary for our salvation is no reason not to pursue it with heart and mind and soul. As the old Puritan Thomas Brooks once explained, being in a state of grace will yield a man heaven hereafter. But the seeing of himself in this state will yield him both a heaven here and a heaven hereafter. Or as Thomas Watson said, it puts a man in heaven before his time. That's what the Apostle John wants his readers to see. Do you see that? If we have fellowship with Christ, then we find ourselves walking in the light as He is in the light. We discover that we have fellowship with one another, and we rejoice forevermore that the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from every sin. Now that's worth praying for and thanking God for. Let's do so now. Our Father in heaven, we know that sometimes we stumble about in darkness. We are confused about who we are. Our sin, our suffering rises up before us, and we wonder sometimes whether we really are Your children. We pray that by Your Holy Spirit and the good and gracious means that You've appointed for us, that You would strengthen our faith and encourage us in our pilgrimage as we take our way and head onwards towards our heavenly home. Help each one of us, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.